Hi, I'm Eric Dalma, pastor at Gospel of Grace Fellowship, and I'm in studio along with Gospel of Grace's theologian and teacher, Bob DeWay. We both want to welcome you here to Critical Issues Commentary Radio, where we dig into the great doctrines of the faith revealed verse by verse through the scriptures, and where we teach you how to contend for the faith once for all handed down to the saints. Bob, it's great to be back with you again this week and doing more study here in this verse that we'd left off, where we were going to be talking about the law of Christ.
Yeah, we just introduced it. So now we're in Galatians 6:2. We introduced the idea last week.
Yeah.
Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And there's more to this than a lot of people realize.
Right, right.
Now, we were just talking about this between recordings.
Yeah.
Okay. And a few weeks ago when I was teaching Sunday school, yet again, I took the people back through the whole Mount of Transfiguration.
Right, right.
Okay, Moses, Jesus, Elijah.
Yeah.
We went back to Deuteronomy 18, Moses saying that God would raise up a prophet like him, and when he did, listen to him.
Right.
They're all there on the Mount of Transfiguration. There's a cloud,
Yeah. Which
would be an allusion back to Sinai.
Right.
A voice from God. This is my beloved son, listen to him.
Right.
Peter wanting to set up the three tabernacles, but it was a bad idea.
Right.
It's not going to be inquire Moses, inquire Elijah, or maybe Christ. They disappear, and it's Christ alone.
Amen.
And the voice from heaven. So therefore, Jesus is the lawgiver of the new covenant.
Amen.
Moses was under the old covenant, which was made obsolete,
right,
according to Hebrews 8.
Right, amen.
And that's what we've been teaching in Galatians.
That's right.
Okay, the false teachers are saying, no, you have to be under the law of Moses.
Right, right.
Or some, you know, false teachers nowadays try to divide up Moses and say this but not that, and others say this but not that.
Right.
We say, the old covenant was done away.
Amen.
That's simple enough.
It was made obsolete according to Hebrews 8.
That's yeah, right. So why they don't want to listen to the Bible, I cannot tell you.
Right.
But that they are false teachers, I will tell you.
Right.
Galatians means what it says.
Amen. That's right.
And it isn't just about justification. It's about the Christian life.
That's right.
Okay. And are you so foolish to begin in the spirit? You're made perfect by the flesh. It talks about how you're made perfect.
Right.
Okay. So the claim here.
Yeah.
The claim in Mark chapter 9.
Right.
The claim in the book of Hebrews. The claim in the book of Romans.
Yeah.
The claim in the book of Galatians.
In Colossians.
And in Colossians.
Yeah.
Is that Jesus Christ
speaks
authoritatively for God.
Amen.
And he is the head of the church.
Right.
And that we're under the new covenant, not the old covenant,
right,
that he appointed apostles, and they speak for God.
Amen.
On behalf of Christ, and that's our law that we're under the new covenant.
Amen. That's right.
Okay.
Exactly.
Now, that's what we're claiming.
Right. You know, Bob, let me just chime in there, too, because of this charge of antinomianism that you'll hear for those that want to be new covenant Christians, which is, to me, the only kind of Christian you should be. Because we are under the new covenant. There's no question about it. The old covenant
is... Well, that's the claim that's made in the New Testament.
Exactly.
Now, if you're going to say we don't believe the Bible...
Right,
well, then how can you say somebody else is in rebellion against God? Who's in rebellion?
Amen. Jeremiah 31, verses 31 through 34.
Which is applied in the book of Hebrews...
It is.
...to the new covenant.
Exactly. The very prophets themselves look forward to this day. In fact...
They were quoted...
Exactly, as far as back all
didn't
the way
somebody send you a sermon rebuking people for being under the being new covenant teachers?
They did, yeah.
Unbelievable.
It is.
It's unbelievable.
It is.
And they think that's pious?
Right, it's very sad. Yeah, the prophets themselves look forward to a day when the old covenant would be made obsolete and replaced.
So here we have our lawgiver.
Amen.
Christ.
That's right.
No. Somebody comes along. I don't want Christ in the gospel. I want Moses in the law.
Right.
Well, what do you think Paul would say to such a person?
Right, right. Right.
You don't have to guess.
Right.
You can read about it.
Exactly right. Now, you had some great cross-references.
You know what he said, by the way?
What did he say?
You've fallen from grace.
That's right. Exactly. We've fallen from the standard of grace. Yeah.
Exactly.
To go back to Moses.
So what is this law of Christ? Well, it tells us, bear one another's burdens.
Wow.
It's beautiful. Rather than biting and devouring one another, Galatians 5:26.
Right.
We're to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah.
Exhibit the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Correct someone or restore such one that falls into sin.
Right.
And to bear one another's burdens. Therefore, we fulfill the law of Christ. So
Wow. How
can we say Christ has no authority over his own church?
Amen. Well said. You know, I know the term there for burdens, baros, that often has to do with like a stone or a great weight. And you had pointed out in context the one.
Yeah,
of the greatest,
it means a heavy weight, yeah.
Yeah, one of the greatest heavy weights that we could ever have is to try to fulfill and to live up to the law of Moses. We can't.
What
do
did
it.
Jesus say about the religious leaders? They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they're not willing to lift them with a finger.
That's right. They don't give any help, do they? Wow.
Well, they love the role of being the lawgiver.
Right.
They usurp Christ, seat themselves in the chair of the lawgiver,
right. And
they make decrees in the name of God that biblically are not binding on Christians.
Right, amen.
And they're according to the traditions of men. I'm going to preach on that Sunday from Colossians 2:8. And if you say, no, I will not acknowledge that you're God's lawgiver.
Right.
Your teachings are not biblical.
Yes.
I'm not bound by the traditions of men. They become so angry.
They're irate.
That steam rolls out of their ears.
Right, right, exactly.
How
right.
dare you not submit to me, the great man of God who's the lawgiver.
Right.
Dear saints, if you run into that, leave.
Amen.
Rebuke the person doing it. And leave.
Yeah, that's right.
But if they're teaching you according to the law of Christ, then you have to listen.
That's right. In fact, you saw, and I think you've pointed out this numerous times in our studies together, in Colossians 2:16, we're given an imperative, a command, not to let anyone judge us with respect to various aspects of the Mosaic Covenant. A couple of them would be food laws and Sabbath days.
Exactly. And, well, you have a command also in Colossians 2:8, because I know I just sent you the PowerPoint.
Yeah.
You haven't seen it yet.
Right.
But I was looking at the Greek.
Yeah.
It says there in the Greek, watch out.
Wow.
Imperative.
Yeah, that's right.
Watch out.
That's right. We're to be on guard.
Yeah. And because there are teachings that are not according to Christ, but according to the stoichia, the hostile powers, and according to the traditions of men.
Amen. That's right.
So it's very clear, I don't know how it could be any more clear, that the traditions of men are not binding on the consciences of Christians.
Right. Amen. That's right.
I don't know why that's so difficult.
Right. Amen. You know, Bob, too, as you were talking here, I was thinking about, isn't it interesting we have a lawgiver now in Christ? And
how can you say, I don't want to hear from Christ? Give me Moses.
Right, and the irony is he was the law fulfiller.
Amen.
And so what's so interesting is to go back to a different lawgiver is to deny the sufficiency of Christ.
Yeah.
The reason why Christ is the lawgiver par excellence is he is the one that fulfilled the law on our behalf.
Wow.
He is the one that we find our perfection in.
Thank you, Lord.
And therefore he has the right and he has the authority to be the lawgiver forevermore.
Well, and he made it very clear. He said, you have heard, but I say to you.
Yes.
You have heard, but I say to you.
That's
right. And you can go into Matthew 7. Who is it that builds on the rock?
That's right.
The one who hears these words of mine.
Amen.
And does them.
That's right.
I mean, Christ made the claim. Now, we could say, well, we don't believe the gospel, or we don't believe in Christ, or we don't believe the word of God, or we don't believe these teachings.
Right.
But you can't claim Jesus didn't say
right. That
his words were authoritative and binding.
Amen.
And that building on the rock
was
to hear his words and obey them.
That's right.
And listen, Shema.
Right.
Okay, you can't say that wasn't the case because it really was the case.
Right.
But the great thing about this is that what God commands us through Christ, He fulfills by sending the Holy Spirit to empower us to live differently, to walk in the Spirit.
Amen.
That's an imperative in the Greek. Walk in the Spirit.
Yes.
Okay? And if we walk in the Spirit, we will fulfill the law of Christ.
Amen.
Our hearts will be filled with love for the brethren.
Right, right.
We'll have a love and appreciation for the Word of God that so excites us that when we hear it, our faith soars.
Amen. That's exactly right. Well said. Romans 8:3, just to tie into what you're saying, Bob, Paul said, "For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh." You know, that's the system that God had promised that would come, the system of the Spirit, according to Jeremiah 31. See, the Spirit is now, like you're pointing out, enabling us to do what the law never could.
Yeah. Amen. And thank God for this.
Yes, amen.
And so we have the burdens of one another that we bear.
Right.
Because Christians have always come under persecution.
Right.
We've always suffered. We've always had difficulties.
Wow.
And we come to the aid of one another.
Right.
The word for bear here, where it says bear one another's burden, is in the imperative. We're commanded to do this.
Wow.
And according to the Greek here, we fill up. Anaplorao.
Yeah.
Future active indicative, to fulfill or fill up the law of Christ. Now you are going to read 1 Corinthians 9:21.
Yeah, just in relationship to the law of Christ, Paul himself, who is an apostle, spokesman for Christ, and remember in Matthew 10, I think it's verse 40 if I recall correctly, Jesus said, "Whoever receives you receives me." So that means if you receive the teachings of the apostles, you're receiving Christ himself. Well, here Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, he says to the Jews, this is verse 20, "I became as a Jew in order to win Jews. To those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law, but of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law." Now, here's the grand point. Paul himself says that he's under the law of Christ.
Amen.
And so therefore, the charge that somehow people who are under the new covenant are antinomian, it's not true. Because Christ is God in the flesh. He's our new lawgiver. And the commandment that
he's given... Do these people know what they're saying?
I know. It's very disappointing.
Do they understand that they are literally blaspheming Christ?
Right. It's that serious.
They're saying Jesus Christ came as the lawgiver of the new covenant. We're not even under it.
Right.
We don't have to listen to this.
Right. That's
what
right.
kind of rebellion is that? And you're calling somebody else antinomian?
Right. That's right. It's very...
It's serious.
It is.
I would be just... The fear of God would keep me from making such a claim.
Right. Amen.
I'm going to have to stand before Christ. Am I going to tell him that he wasn't legitimately the lawgiver of the new covenant?
Right. Right. Amen.
When it says in John 12:48 that his words will be my judge on the last day.
Wow. Yeah. Very powerful.
Who do we think is the head of the church anyhow?
That's right. And what you just taught us, Bob, very well in the book of Galatians is that it's a exclusive claim. In other words, Jesus is the lawgiver. There is no other lawgiver under the...
Apostles who spoke for him.
Oh, exactly. Amen. But what my point is, it's not Moses and Jesus. It's Jesus, isn't it?
Well, that was the point of the Mount of Transfiguration.
Amen.
The other day in Sunday school, I think people got it.
Yes, they sure did.
It really sunk in.
It was exciting.
Just went slowly, carefully. Here it is. When you have God speaking from heaven, you would think that would settle it.
Yes, very well said, yeah.
I would think so. I mean, that works for me, you know. God speaking from heaven out of a cloud.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And you know, it's funny, Peter said as much in 2 Peter 1. He says, "Look, we were there. We heard the voice."
Yeah, you mentioned that in Sunday school.
Yep.
It says in Romans 15:1, "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those who are without strength, and not just please ourselves."
Mm.
each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification.
Wow.
For even Christ, it says in verse 3, did not please himself, but it's written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me.
Oh,
and
wow.
It says in verse 4, for whatsoever was written in earlier times, Romans 15:4, was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope.
Wow. Wow, that's beautiful.
The Holy Spirit inspired the Scripture. The meaning of the Scripture is what God is saying.
Yeah, that's right.
We hear, we believe, we hear the promise of God. We have hope. This life is difficult.
Yeah.
There are many sins and snares, sicknesses and sorrows.
Yeah.
Yep. Cases of impoverishment.
That's right.
And difficulties.
Yeah.
And how badly we need one another.
We do.
And when Absolutely. We care for one another, we're fulfilling the law of Christ.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, that's what it looks like, Bob. You're so right. And so the Christian life in the community of believers is one in which you and I and all believers look to one another to encourage one another, to help one another in the weaknesses. And they may be various weaknesses. It may be with sin or maybe because of some physical
Well, people lose
issue.
Their jobs.
Right, people lose their jobs. There's numerous ways.
Sometimes somebody will just go to bat for someone else to help them find a job.
Yeah, amen. That's right. You know, I was thinking of the Philippians 2 passage, Bob, where, you know, Paul calls us to have the same mind of Christ, who humbled himself and became a servant for all. In fact, he says in Philippians 2, he says, let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also the interests of others. And that's the way we are to be believers in the New Covenant community, means we look out for our fellow brothers
Amen.
And sisters.
It says in 1 John 2:10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there's no cause for stumbling in him. But in verse 11, the one who hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness.
Wow.
And does not know where he's going because the darkness has blinded his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
So we love beloved saints.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, that's right.
Because we need one another. It says in 1 John 4, in verse 21, it says here, and this commandment we have from him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also.
Wow. There it is. That's fulfilling the law of Christ, is to love our brothers and sisters.
We can't say, I have no need of you. Look at that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Wow.
About the body of Christ.
Yeah.
Who's the head? Christ.
Yeah.
We're members of the body.
Amen.
And members of one another. And one member can't say to the other, I have no need of you.
Wow. Very important. Yeah. Yeah, that ties
it
very nicely.
I literally had that said to me.
Yeah. I remember that. How sad.
It's devastating.
It is.
It's absolutely devastating.
Right.
And it gave me empathy and compassion for people.
Yeah.
About what's important.
Right.
And how we treat people.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's so important, Bobby. I think about that passage you just cited. The image may be, you know, it says the eye cannot say to the hand, I think it is, that I have no need of you. And one of the implications is from the head, maybe somebody in the community that has a higher authority or higher status, it can't say to a lowlier one that I have no need of you. And think of the imagery that Paul's borrowing from. It's the imagery of a body. Wouldn't it be foolish if we said, you know, I don't think I really need my hand or my foot, and we just lopped it off or left it out.
Someone was really sick about such a person.
Yeah, wouldn't we think that that's so vile? And that's exactly what we do when we don't love one another.
Exactly. So here's the law of Christ, the law of love, to love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
And this is an extension of that. Christian love is to always think of others in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at my PowerPoint from last April.
Yeah.
Christ is the true lawgiver of the new covenant. That's what we've been saying.
Yeah, amen.
You know, I'll try to deny that.
Right.
Come here, all you great teachers of the law, Moses, and prove that Christ isn't the lawgiver of the new covenant. I challenge you.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't believe you can do it.
Right, amen. That's right.
Okay. 1 Peter 5:7, Christ cares for his own. We should care for those who are Christ.
Wow.
He cares for you.
Amen. That's beautiful. It really is.
Yeah, 1 Peter 5:7, let me quote it exactly. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you.
Yeah, you know what's beautiful there? You and I have talked in the last few weeks in Sunday school about communicable and incommunicable attributes. Well, here's a communicable attribute is an attribute that we can share with God to a lesser extent. And here would be one in which we can be loving just as God is loving. It's a godly characteristic to love and to take the burdens of our fellow brothers and sisters. Now, ultimately, God is the one who we are all to look to, who takes all of our burdens upon him, but his people can share in that, and it's part of our derived holiness that we have by being in Christ, that now we have a mission and a purpose in life to bear the burdens of one another and to serve one another as long as Christ tarries and we have breath in our lungs.
Why don't you make that a little clearer? I missed a Sunday. I was sick.
Yeah.
And the recording didn't work.
Oh, yeah.
Eric was teaching about what you were just talking about.
Yeah.
Explain to our listeners the difference between non-communicable and communicable attributes.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. The non-communicable attributes of God are attributes that he alone has. They would be attributes like omnipotence or what we call the aseity of God, which would be his self-sufficiency, the fact that he's eternal.
Uh-huh.
Certainly, we're not eternal. We're finite, contingent beings. So those are things that God has alone.
Maybe some of the ones that start with omni.
Yeah. Omnipresent.
Omnipresence. Omniscience.
Yes.
Omnipotence.
Right.
Those things aren't going to be true of anything but God.
Amen. Exactly. And
they're unique attributes of God alone.
Amen.
So therefore, in theology, we would call them incommunicable.
That's right. He doesn't communicate them with anyone. He alone has them. And in that sense, then God is unique. But there are what we call communicable attributes in which God has things like love, hate, even hate. Remember, we're to hate the things that God hates. We are to love the things that God loves. And these are attributes mm-hmm. that we share with him.
Now, let's tease out some more ideas here, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, now narrowing it down to these communicable.
Yeah.
God is loving, we're loving. Now, in theology, we talk about how these things are true, but not in a total absolute sense. In other words,
exactly.
God's love, in an absolute sense, is unique to God.
Amen. Exactly. So we only share them in...
But what's communicated to us is love that has a relationship to God's love. It's like God's love.
Yeah.
It is God's love as in his creatures.
Right, right.
Okay? It's analogically true.
That's right.
Okay? But we're a different order of being.
Exactly, right.
So as God being God is loving.
Exactly.
Us as believers in Christ are loving.
Yeah.
But analogically like God, but not absolutely like God.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
It does. I love that distinction because what, and just to go into something a little maybe opaque, but it'll help. There was a movement called the Neo Orthodox movement, and they claimed because you and I are different or finite, we can have no relationship with God.
Yeah, God is so other.
Yeah.
We can't even talk meaningfully about God.
That's
I studied some of that and heard some of it when I was in seminary.
Right, right.
Okay. And therefore, all theology, all talk about God, according to Neo-Orthodox, it's just meaningless.
Right, right.
It's a bunch of blathering nonsense.
Right, so the only thing that's meaningful is an existential experience.
Yeah, and so then they're fideists.
That's right.
Meaning faith is its own justification.
Right.
So you have a blind leap because you can never be anything but blind.
Right, exactly. It's as if, a good analogy is as if God speaks Chinese and we're locked with English and there's no communication possible. So we have to simply wait for an experience in which we somehow through this experience...
existential experience.
Exactly. We come to know God. But what's interesting, Bob, is you hit on something very important, the analogical nature of God's communication. What we're saying is that God speaks to us by way of analogy. So think of three different concepts. One would be a univocal communication.
Yeah, univocal, which would be equivocating.
Yeah, and equivocating, exactly. So that would be just nonsense, where the term is changed. Univocal would be another one, which is there's a one-to-one relationship.
Yeah.
We're not claiming that.
There's analogical.
Yeah, and univocal and equivocating. Yeah.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is God works by way of analogy. So, for instance, God is powerful, but you and I can know something of what it means to be powerful because we have one car that's more powerful than another. But certainly we're not omnipotent. God is love, and you and I certainly aren't loving to the extent that God is, but we know something of what he means. We love our wives, we love our children. We know something of what it means to have love. And so it's by way of analogy.
Yeah, and we know. When we were discussing this in seminary, and I loved getting in these classes, and
yeah,
there are always a few neo-Orthodox in there that I can
right.
debate with.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, it's all meaningless. Well, is this analogical language meaningful? That was really the issue we had to debate.
Yeah.
And what we claimed, at least I did, was that God is the one choosing the analogy.
Wow, I love that. That's beautiful.
Okay, God sent his son Jesus, who was born of a virgin.
Yes.
Who was fully human and fully God, who spoke for God. He made the analogies.
Beautiful.
Okay, so you have infallible, inerrant, all-knowing God speaking human languages.
Right.
Analogically, but he's choosing the analogy, knowing what we can know and learn and understand.
Yes.
So it becomes meaningful because it's God's analogy that was chosen by God, not man imagining what he thinks God might be like.
Right, exactly.
What was at issue back in the 80s and 90s, and God in his providence allowed me to be in some very high-level seminary classes with great teachers.
Yes, yes.
And these things were being debated.
Yeah.
And there were postmoderns in the class which was a new thing back then.
Sure.
And they were very smart. A lot of them went on and got PhDs. They're now teaching, sadly.
Right, that's right.
But I'd debate with them.
Yeah.
I was just like, I love this. This is so good.
Yeah.
And it fine-tunes our ability to understand.
That's right. That's right. And so what you and I have claimed when it comes to sanctification is what we're doing is we're growing in the communicable attributes. Those are the attributes that God holds us into account. And one of them is this love that God ultimately has. He is the standard of love.
Yes.
But yet he shares that attribute with us, and we're to grow in it as we become more conformed to the image of Christ. And therefore, part of sanctification being set apart looks like people who love as God loves. Never that will never be completely, totally able to do it as
God according
does.
To our order of being as redeemed sinners,
exactly,
we can bear one another's burdens.
That's right.
Think of the other fruits of the Spirit.
Yes.
Peace. Isn't God the God of peace?
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And he sanctifies us.
That's right.
He sheds his love and his peace and his joy in our heart.
Joy. Yes.
Even holy itself. God is holy.
Yes.
But sanctified is something that's the term applied to believers.
That's right.
And so we're holy.
Yeah, amen. We're set apart.
We're set apart according to our own order of being.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, amen.
Let me think of an analogy. When I'm talking about order of being, I'm hoping that's not too technical, but let's say a man is married and he has a dog.
Yeah.
And he says he loves his wife and he says he loves his dog.
Right.
What's the difference?
Well, the difference is the dog isn't nearly as important as the wife.
Not only that, the wife is a fellow human being. Amen. Created in God's image.
That's right.
The dog is a different type of creature.
Right. Amen.
Or you may even go to a non-sentient thing and say you love your truck.
Yes. Right. Great point.
Yes. And that's a piece of steel.
That's right, yeah. And we love our trucks, right, Bob?
Yeah. Hey, a man needs a truck.
That's right.
You can't haul anything if you don't have one.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
And
yeah.
So we have so much here.
Yeah.
And let's make some applications for our listeners.
Amen.
Dear listeners, the law of Christ is that we bear one another's burdens.
Yeah.
We've seen from the book of Galatians, by Paul's own experience, yeah. Galatians 2, by his teaching in the rest of the book, that when people become fleshly, when they want to follow law works rather than the gospel of grace, they bite and devour one another.
Oh, wow. What a great... What's a
Galatians 5:26.
That's a powerful contrast.
All right. This is going on. Now, if you don't believe it, just go and read the whole book of Acts. Just think about that. Read the book of Acts. When you get to Acts 15, you have the Jerusalem Council. But then Paul trying to avert a blow up in the church between the Jews and Gentiles. It didn't go away.
Right.
People weren't satisfied with the Jerusalem Council.
Yeah.
Goes and actually puts himself under Jewish law.
Wow.
Even though he has the liberty not to be.
Right.
In order to avert that. And what happens is there's a big riot and they throw him in jail.
Right.
They wouldn't accept him under any case because there's zeal for Moses.
Yeah.
Now, this was believers. Go read
believers,
it yourself.
Believers, that's right. Exactly.
I'm not just telling you to believe something. It's in the scripture.
Right.
Go read it, Acts 21.
Yeah.
That's how it gets.
Yeah.
Dear saints, are we those who bear one another's burdens? Or are we those who bite and devour one another?
Wow.
And if the latter's true, that you're biting and devouring one another, you won't have to look far. And you'll have teachers of law at the root cause.
Yeah.
It happens again and again and again. The gospel of grace leads to love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, patience. Against such things there is no law.
Amen.
And that's what we've learned from this.
Yes.
And I know some will hear. And if you don't, you're going to have to just go get beat up. I can't help you.
Bob, that's a wonderful summary. That is just well said. And that's the contrast that we're to see. That is Galatians right there, what you just summarized.
Well, all you have to do is read and see it play out.
Yeah.
Read the Gospels. It plays out with the Jewish leaders. Read Acts.
Yeah.
Read Galatians. Read Galatians 2. It plays out that way again and again and again.
Amen. Bob, thank you. That's such a wonderful summary. And I want to thank you for all the hard work that you've poured into this book and not only teaching it verse by verse, but also preparing for the radio. And I think that that's a great summary, and we're going to leave on that. I know that we're out of time for this edition of Critical Issues Commentary Radio, but both Bob and I want to remind you that you can access this program at our website at cicministry.org. Bob, I look forward to getting into the next verses, and it's certainly a pleasure to be working on these with you.
Well, it's my joy to talk about the gospel.
Amen. We both want to remind you all out there to stand firm in one spirit with one mind and strive together for the faith of the gospel.
Amen.